Start again, because that was that little bit we did about the countdown being funny wasn't funny.
Right. Was it supposed to be?
Ideally.
When you dreamt it up last night on your pillow, were you thinking, you know what we're going to do tomorrow that's just going to absolutely leave our crowd in stitches?
Uh-huh.
Hot countdown talk.
You say last night, but last night was like the fifth draft. This has been a whole week of me working the workshop in this.
Yeah.
And but doing open mic nights. Just there's no open mics here, so it's just me on the bus, which is awkward.
Speaking in a foreign language.
All right, well, let's do a show then. Hello and welcome to episode 425 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Did I put you just? That took a little bit longer than normal. I think you weren't ready for it.
Yeah, I was looking at your photos from this week. That was the problem.
We may not use all of them. I'm just putting some stuff in there.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go. Now that's pause. My pause was for thought.
Oh yeah, good thing.
Dramatic pause. Dramatic.
Yeah. All right. Amazon, if you need a dramatic pause, click on our link. Go to our website. Have I done this before?
No, first time.
Evidently, this is difficult. It's making me marbly mouthed. Go to our website, twohosers.com. Click through there, those links, and do your Amazoning, and helps us out. I don't think I bought anything on Amazon in a while.
I know, me either.
Yet they're hanging in.
Yeah, they seem to be doing okay.
Yeah. I feel like, you know what I'm thinking about, though? And this is in real time. Like, this is basically, I think it was last night, it kind of occurred to me.
What's that?
I want to get your take on it, because you've already gone down most of this road. I'm strongly considering putting in a home theater in the house here.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Like with the, because we have a big room downstairs that is a playroom essentially, but if we I want to get one of those motorized screens.
Oh God, now you're speaking my language.
They are not expensive.
They are reasonable, absolutely.
Oh, they are cheap, in my opinion. Like, you can get cheap. I'm not getting the cheap one. That would be, like, that's a waste. Like, obviously, that's just going to, first of all, it's going to be gray and come out wrinkled and only work once, I'm guessing.
Right.
So you can get them for, like, $100 or something.
Okay, don't do that.
No, I shall not do that.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go much higher than that. Ooh, to get something like
I feel like I still would.
How much higher would you go?
For a motorized one?
Yeah.
I'd probably go to 5.
I don't think you have to go that high. I think at that point you're throwing money away.
Okay. I have a non-motorized, like just one that, you know, basically I pull up manually.
Right.
And I have it on like a tripod sort of stand, which I mean I love. It works great. I can take it up and like my wife appreciates I can take it and put it down very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that one was about $100. And the screen is fantastic. The mechanism is strong. I've taken it up and down probably 50 times in the 10 months since I've had it. And it's still
a five times a month.
Yeah, I probably say that I maybe 4 times a month. I probably put it up every weekend is what I do.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of been the routine. I leave it down for the week. Put it up on the weekend, watch a movie, watch a sporting event, that sort of thing. And then it comes down Sunday afternoon. So it kind of goes up Friday evening, comes down Sunday afternoon. Takes me 5 minutes to set it all up. Love it. Absolutely love it. But that sort of manual one was $100. So I'd be worried about the motor mechanism being cheap.
Yeah, that's where I feel the same way. So but again, surprisingly, maybe it's because it's in euros or whatever. But I had no idea what to expect when I started googling it.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I'm guessing they were going to start at 500.
Right. That would be my guess, just based on the research I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Way less. And we're talking like a 100-inch screen.
Right. That's what I have. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to get probably the 100-inch screen. I'm guessing just get the one that's a 16:9. There's no reason I would need a full frame projection. Right. Is your square a 4:3 or is it like a wide thing?
Mine is, it's not square. It's kind of like it's 16:9, be like your TV was.
Okay.
It has some black above and below. And I guess, mm-hmm. I mean, depending on the size you make it, you could basically, you know, show anything you would.
Oh, it could be 16:1 if you want.
Yeah. But yeah, it is set for 16:9 in terms of how they've blacked out the top and bottom. And the blackout edges are super awesome so that for your projector, it leaves a little bleed room so it doesn't mm-hmm. look distracting. I really like the black bars for making because when you turn off the lights and everything, you just don't want to have that light shining in places that it shouldn't. It's distracting. So the blacked out edges screen is awesome.
Okay, so now you have a projector as well, obviously. Otherwise, you'd be wasting your time.
Right.
So I looked at those, and I have not looked at those in a long time. Like, when they first started becoming sort of accessible to humans,
mm-hmm.
that was when they were like about $3,000 for a cheap one.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come down way down since then.
Yeah.
So obviously I want to get one. I'm going to get one that's like an HD projector, like a 1080p. I don't need to go higher than that. I don't care about 4K.
Yeah, and the 4K one's like quadruple the price.
Yeah, so guess what? I'm not doing that. So here's what I'm going to do. So like you bring yours out and then plug it in. Is that what happens?
That's all that happens. Yep, bring it out. Sits on a little table. I could ceiling mount it. My wife does not want me to. So I do not. Mine's also not
what
in
if you
a
just,
dedicated
what
theater
if you
room.
Just ceiling mount it? What is she gonna do? Burn the house down?
No, she just doesn't. She doesn't want, like, that's in our living room. Like, it's a little different. You have if you have a theater room for it, she would have no issues with it whatsoever. But it is our living room, which I turn into a portable theater, and mm-hmm. so it is really no hassle for me to bring it out and put it away. And she appreciates it not being on the ceiling. So I understand. I keep basically, you know, throwing that idea out there, like I'm going to do it, and so far it has not been well received.
Right.
So I have I've hesitated on mounting it, but yeah, the mount is great because then if people walk back and forth in the room, you don't get that interference with their body being in front of it momentarily. So it's a small issue, but usually when you're watching a movie, it doesn't really come up. If you have a bunch of people over, then it does come up.
Okay. And so your projector, which one? Like, we should do the whole show about projectors apparently, so you have the projector, then you run it through, like you have a surround sound too, correct?
Oh yeah. So everything for me is like every device that I have, whether it's a Blu-ray player, whether it's my stereo, like TV, it all goes through like a big audio receiver, and then it all comes out one HDMI. So I have all the inputs, and then there's like a throughput. So if all I do is basically take the HDMI, like I have a super long HDMI cable, unplug it from the TV, and then that just goes and plugs into the projector. The end. Turn on the projector, and it's everything else is set up the same. So the audio is always coming out of the stereo. It's just a matter of where the.
But so the HDMI comes out of the stereo as well, though.
The HDMI comes out of the stereo. Like there's an out, and from the instead of plugging it into the TV, that's basically the one thing I have to do. I have to unplug the HDMI from the TV, which is mounted up over our fireplace, and then just take that super long cord, and then I have a spot that I run it along so it's out of the way, and then it just plugs into the back of the projector. It's all kind of set up. I have a little TV table spot that it's all set up for the projector, and it's just like plug that in, projector goes up, and then focus it. That's it. You're done. Probably a little less than 5 minutes.
Okay, so I'm going to set one up that's dedicated, but I want to kind of move all my TV stuff out of the living room. My dream, it's a big dream to have, is the dream isn't the home theater. The dream is not having a TV in my living room.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I'd like to have a record player only. And
That's how I grew up, was no TV in the living room, yeah.
Yeah, I did not grow up that way. We were a little more dysfunctional than that, but... So hence the dream. And anyway, so we'll I think we'll discuss a little more off off air. I have some more questions about what to look for. But the one big question on the air, have you ever used the screen as a white backdrop?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so that's doable. So that's one my one thing, because as I've been, you know, I constantly, not constantly, but very often have to do these little one-off white background portrait shoots for these. I now have three different clients like who have like an ongoing contract with. Whenever they get new employees, they send them over and they get one done. So I'm charging, you know, one-offs, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can, as you can imagine, that whole process of actually taking those pictures, it's about 2 minutes to do.
Right.
The bulk of the work comes in setting up the white background and the lights and et cetera, et cetera. If I can streamline that by just having a screen come down, because it's only a headshot, so I don't need the full body one. I still want my white seamless for things. But if I don't have to bring it out for this, if I can just hit the button, have it roll down, that's going to save me a lot of hassle.
Right.
That's going to be a twofer. So if that works great, then I think that's going to... I'm doing it anyways. I just want to know if I can use it for that.
You definitely can, and it works no different than the white background. I guess it depends on, you know, how reflective the screen you have is, but for me, right, no difference than using the white paper roll.
All right, I think I'm going to pull the trigger just in time for spring and outdoor weather.
Let me also say, like, on the projector, like, okay, so I have the projector that I'm, you know, requires me to do the setup every weekend, and, you know, if I want to set it up for that, and, you know, that might seem tiresome, and it might be one of those things. Like, I think the projector I bought in Canadian dollars was around between $700 and $800, something like that.
Whoa.
1080p, again, like one that was very well reviewed on Amazon. I did a ton of research. So I basically, too many hours of reading reviews and checking, like, with, you know, different online electronics review sites. And, like, I wanted something that was good. You have to consider the lamp light, the fan noise. There's a whole bunch of variables. You'll see if you get deep into this research. The sweet spot on the high-end 1080p's is probably right there, around $700. There are some refurbished ones out there that are, again, higher end that you could save $100. But to me, I could not be happier with the actual purchase of the projector. We use it, again, I use it probably more, like, I don't watch a lot of TV. I prefer, like, if you can have a room where you can make it reasonably dark, and even these projectors pump out so much light, it doesn't have to be totally dark, but if you can make it dark-ish, oh my goodness, it is mind-blowing how good the quality of the image is. And forget 4K, like the 1080p in a regular size room, like it's movie theater quality, and I have a really, really nice sound system. Like, I've been fortunate in terms of been given some fantastic audio equipment that I never would have been able to afford on my own. And so just speakers and, I mean, everything just kind of all together, like it is as good as a home theater experience as I can imagine. And the beauty of it is that I can put it away at the end of the weekend and it's as if it never was there.
Gotcha. So that's my sort of plan is to have it, you know, ceiling mounted so it's out of the way, and then have the screen go up and then so it doesn't exist, and my kids can go and, you know, smash around in there and do their normal playing, and then we can go watch movies in the basement when we want to. So and you know, when you say the $700-$800, you're right. I was thinking around $500, but that's in euros, so the translation's about right. I think we're looking at the same ones.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think they make them. You can get some for like $180.
Oh, don't do it.
There's no chance. I mean, hey, 50 cents, all you can eat sushi.
Well, and also you're going to, I mean, I don't know. I guess the lamp life on them is pretty long, but eventually you're going to burn through a lamp, and then on those cheap ones, you'll never be able to replace it.
Right. It's like, yeah, so the old printer ink scam.
Yeah, and I would look at, you know, the cost and availability of the bulbs for a particular model, because there is a wide fluctuation in price for replacement bulbs. So some of them could be $60-$70, some of them could be $250 for a replacement bulb. So your upfront cost might look great, but you're never going to want to replace that bulb. Yeah.
Man, you're a grown up, buddy.
Yeah. No, I'm good at research on electronics. It's a strong suit for me.
Yeah. That's why I talked to you first, because like I just thought of this late last night, started Amazoning it, and was like, okay, I won't pull the trigger just right away. It's, you know, midnight on a Thursday, I'll do some, and by research, I mean check with Adam.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I'll do.
Good stuff.
So, and then the kicker is, and here's the move I'm going to do is, just going to order it. And one day when, like, my wife's gone for the day, I'm just going to install it. She won't even know. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise it's going to, you know, it's going to be an argument.
Hot move.
Yeah. Just do it. Make it happen. Yeah. All right. What is going on, Adam? But all theater talk aside, what's been going on with you guys?
Just Vancouver. Snow craziness here. Like, it seems to snow all the time. Went from bragging about the fact spring was here, and I mean, we had full bloom of flowers. Like, it was crazy that, you know, not just the people, but the environment had decided there was going to be no winter this year, and we were straight to spring. And then it hit us like a ton of bricks, and it just seems to snow here all the time. I think it was snowing out here when I left. It's just snowed and snowed and snowed. We've had
today
5 to 10 centimeters. Like, we've had about 4 different dumps, a couple in a row, canceled. We never get school canceled in Richmond. I think it'd been more than 10 years that there'd been a snow day, because sort of policy is you go no matter what. But they actually had a snow day here last week, which was great for the kids. I missed 2 days of work because I work about 40 minutes from home, so there's a commute. So I missed 2 days in a row. Clinic was closed one day, and then the other day just wouldn't have been safe to travel, or not even that it wouldn't have been safe. I wouldn't have been able to get back home. So yeah, it's been crazy, and I think we're not quite done yet, but hopefully we're done with it soon. Yeah,
so you're like two weeks. How long has this been going on?
Yeah, basically for on and off for 2 weeks, but there's always snow on the ground. Yeah,
yikes! I don't remember that ever happening. I remember a massive snowfall in about the mid 90s, right at Christmas time. And like, people, you couldn't get anywhere, but it didn't last for, it might have lasted for like 5-6 days, and that was it.
Right.
I just realized we took a turn for the old man right here.
Right. But I mean, what it did bring on was the opportunity to take some snow photos. So that's where, that's where there's a photography tie-in, because I had said, what was the challenge? It was winter fun, right?
Yeah.
Winter fun. And so I just literally fell into it. I mean, I had said that it was cold enough that the Gary Point was going to freeze, and we were going to do that. We actually did. We went and did that, and that's not even, I mean, I took my little handheld camera, took a few snaps, you know, the little RX100 camera, took a few snaps, but it was kind of a overcast day, and there was nothing fantastic about the photos, but we had a lot of fun out there, Jack and I, just skating and playing little games. And then that was just the beginning, because then all the snow came, and we were able to do all the fun outdoor snow stuff, snowballs and tobogganing and that stuff.
Well, we'll get to it when I get to my photo challenge, but we went the other way here. Winter is, well, I'm sure it'll come back in March, but because I've had snow here, like weird snow in April, in the end of April before, a couple years ago. But no, we went the other way. We were in the 20s, like legitimately over 20 degrees.
Wow.
So yeah, we went, a bunch of families got together last weekend, went for a hike, and we was out in the t-shirts and we're sweating. So yeah, you'll figure that out when you get to my photo challenge where there is no winter.
Okay.
There you go. All right. I made sushi. Remember I told you I was going to order sushi? Made homemade. Have you ever made homemade sushi?
No.
Why would you? You live in the land of sushi.
That's right. There's no reason for me to make sushi.
There's no reason. Yeah. And I got to tell you, if I lived where you live, I would never make homemade sushi.
Yeah.
It's a massive pain.
Right.
It's not as good. It was good. Like, I enjoy sushi that much, but it was good. But I got to tell you, if we live where you are, there are sushi restaurants that have sushi restaurants inside of them.
Yeah, it is. Like, it is that everywhere. Kind of situation, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, but did that. Did I take a picture? Oh, I snapped a photo. There you go. Make it photo. There's my son rolling up a tuna roll.
Oh, wow.
You think making sushi's hard? Try it with a 5-year-old.
Yeah, he's really focused.
He is focused, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but they enjoyed it. My kids actually very much like sushi already, which is weird because... Like, wow, the first time you're making homemade sushi, you're 5 years old. The first time I ever tried sushi, I think I was like 26.
Yeah. That's weird though, because I mean, it is so available here. I mean, my kids have been very much indoctrinated into sushi consumption from a very early age. And even, you know, how they have like the lunch, hot lunches, like once a month at school, there's a program you can sign up for where they bring in different food once a month at the beginning of the year. One of the items that always is part of that lunch sign up is sushi. So they have sushi and they can get whatever kind of rolls they want.
You can't just have cold hot dogs like we did?
I think that might be an option as well on a different day, but that's one that usually nobody's
thrilled. Hot dog day was the best. Like they had hot dogs, and then they had an option if you're a vegetarian, you just didn't get a hot dog, and then we beat the crap out of you at lunchtime. Right.
There's pizza day. We have that too. Tuesdays, there's always the option for the kids to buy pizza. So
we've taken a turn.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about winter fun.
First of all, reminder, we're not even there yet, but reminder, photo challenge for the month for February is do your best. And that'll be next week's episode. We'll talk about that. So hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers, or hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Photo. And we will check that out next week.
Okay.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I shot photos at Rogers Arena. That was fun.
I saw that. Explain what's going on there.
So our hockey team, our team manager, who's just amazing and kind of goes way above and beyond any other team manager, managed to procure us a 2-hour ice time at Rogers Arena. There's a long weekend here, a family day. I think in the U.S. it's President's Day. In Canada, they call it Family Day. So there's a long weekend on the Monday. The Canucks were not in action. And she was able to get us a 2-hour ice time on that evening of the holiday. So our team, basically just our team, had the ice for 2 hours. And so we did kind of like a family skate for the first half hour. Anybody who wanted to skate, you know, the kids, siblings, parents, whoever wanted to skate for the first half hour could skate. And then the hour and a half following that, we had our parents versus kids full ice game. So in the first half hour, you know, everybody who wanted to skating around, and I just had my camera out and I just kind of offered to take photos of anybody who wanted, you know, a family picture, whoever was on the ice. I took some snapshots, but yeah, I did that. And then I handed my camera off to the coach of our team. And I asked if he would take a photo of us, and he said, yeah, of course. And so I just kind of preset, dialed in the settings and handed him the camera and said, here you go. Try to use the back button focus. And he did a good job. So he snapped two photos in 3.5 seconds and handed the camera back to me. And I said, perfect. And so there's the photo of my family standing on the ice at Rogers Arena just before our parents' kids game.
What's it like skating out there?
It's pretty good. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, it is a little bit surreal when you walk through the tunnel. I imagine the same thing in any kind of big sports stadium. You walk through the tunnel and then it opens up until, like, this is like a 20,000 seat capacity. I mean, it's not like going into a German soccer pitch where it's 50 or 60,000 or 100,000. I don't know how big they are, but 20,000 from standing on ice, the perspective, it looks pretty darn massive when you're standing and looking up. Yeah.
I played there a long time ago.
Okay, so I actually made an exhibition game there.
Yeah,
I did as well as a men's league game. So the Rogers Arena is good about this. About, you know, if you have a person on your team, a manager like this who's persistent, they usually can get some ice time. They like to give back, especially when the ice is available. You know, teams basically do this, so it is quite a nice experience for the kids. For my son, this is the first time kind of playing on a rink this big, and it is pretty amazing when you get out there, and the ice is unreal. I mean, just so fast, and it's warm in there. You don't feel cold like most ice rinks are pretty cold. This is not that.
Yeah, and it looks good. Nice lighting in there too. So
yeah, and the color's always a bit weird in there. So I did the best I can, because the color temperature of the lights in there was very hard to white balance. So again, this is a situation. Did not use flash at all. There's enough light in there, and I figured it would be much more evenly lit than if I was popping flash and trying to balance it. So here's again where a full sensor camera with a good ISO kind of noise canceling feature on it, I could shoot this at, I want to say this is probably around an ISO of, I don't know, 3000, maybe something like that, 3200. Mm-hmm. And it just looks great for an ISO that high.
It does. Yeah. All right. Interesting stuff. Not really.
Got yeah, some stuff. Sure it is. I'm looking at it. It's pretty interesting.
Wait, my stuff?
Yeah.
What's that? What one sticks out?
I was looking at the baseball shot, the one.
Like I said, weather's been nice. So my son said, "Hey, Dad, can we go outside and hit some balls?" And the answer is always yes.
Right, right.
And so this was just sort of right at sunset. So the light was amazing. So I said, "All right, buddy, you gotta pose for me. Give me your best pose, your best batting card, the best baseball card pose."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotta work on it a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a big kind of funny grin on his face.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll work on that. Maybe he's doing the Billy Ripken, but sure. We'll see. Yeah, did that. And then there's the shot of him in the blue jacket.
Yeah, I'm looking.
We didn't talk about this last week, did we?
No, you sent me a picture of this via text.
Yeah, this is the X100F with the off-camera $20 flash, the Nikon, probably the SB25, I think, which cost me about 19 bucks, euros, with a sync cord. Mm-hmm. And so just broad daylight, like just absolute hammering down. But because I'm able to knock down that exposure with the shutter speed, because it's a leaf shutter, the sync speed is like 1/4,000th of a second if you want it to be. And you can really knock that exposure down so that the sun is providing a nice backlight, and then just hold the flash, you know, camera left in handheld with that little softbox that we own, and fire that off at, like, I'm going to say a quarter power. You don't even need full power for this, and you get a great exposure. Just love this, the X100 and the leaf shutter for the sync in the flash.
Okay, yeah, looks really good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, so I'll use a lot. I mean, my son's had enough of posing for me, but otherwise, we'll use this quite often, I think. So
okay.
The rest of the stuff we can skip. It's not that interesting.
Okay.
All right, photo challenge. This week was winter fun, as suggested by Adam.
That's right.
So let's get mine out of the way, because it doesn't look as like the same as yours.
Right.
Okay, so here we go. Here's winter training in the arena. This is winter. Technically, it is winter,
mm-hmm.
and it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fun? I don't know if training's fun. But
I think it's fun for you, maybe.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy training. So this is our head coach and pitcher Alex doing. This is the light balls. They do like a training program with the heavy balls. They throw the balls that are weighted,
mm-hmm. yeah,
to build up the muscles. And then they have balls that are much lighter than regular baseballs that they fire away and supposed to do with the quickness training, some sort of training regimen that they're into. So I said, awesome. Well, we're going to shoot this. We're going to get you inside in this crappy looking gym. So we'll try to make it look interesting. Here we are having fun in the winter.
Great. Okay, so what did you do here? Obviously, there's a light behind him that we're getting the lens flare from, and the big under his armpit splash of light. Mm-hmm. There's obviously another light, I would think, right? Just because of...
there's three of them.
His right side of his face, like it's being lit by another light. Where's the third light?
Third one is kind of in just behind, like there's one in behind him that you see.
Yeah.
There's one camera left sort of behind him, which is kind of hitting, like you can see under his arm, under his right arm.
Yeah.
And that sort of camera left and behind him. And then there's one sort of just off axis behind the camera.
Okay. All right.
And those are all hard
getting
lights.
A fill, right? Like that's kind of filling.
Essentially,
in the left
this was yeah. a really, really tough thing to light, because the light in the gym is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like it I don't think they use the A lighting. It's the big basketball arena here in town. We actually have a decent basketball arena because there's a team that plays in the Bundesliga or whatever it is. And so we use that once a week in the wintertime. You know, we can do some decent long throwing, etc. But they have like a temporary floor, not a temporary floor, but the main floor they have down is just like this all-purpose kind of gym floor. Right. But for basketball games, they actually build up a basketball court on top of it. They put the real basketball floor over top. So we don't use that. So we use the crappy one. So the lighting in there it's a little bit dark, and it's this awful kind of brown color, which is weird for lights. But the floor itself is pink. Not sort of pink, it's pink, and I don't know why.
Okay.
And so this is a hot mess in there. So I said, okay, we're gonna kill all that. So for me to kill, I want to try to kill all the ambient light. Well, in order to do that, even though it's dark in there, dark-ish, it's not dark enough to just easily kill the ambient light. And I can't go and flip the lights off. It's a massive arena. So I have to kill it in camera. Now, this would have been a good job for the X100, but I did not bring it this evening. This was shot with the 5D with a 50mm lens, which meant I have a maximum sync speed of 1/160th of a second.
Right, yeah.
So at ISO 100, I can kill the bulk of the ambient light at around f/5.6.
Okay.
Which still means you need a lot of light pumping through to fill this up.
Right.
So even with three lights, which I had one light in behind me was on the radio trigger, and then the other two were the SB26s that have the optical sensors just for ease of use. And so I didn't bring light stands with me to practice because I was actually there to practice as well. So I had three guys, each one of them held, just a handheld, hand-holding those lights. So that meant some Photoshop and the guy behind, like the light behind you see, I got rid of the guy's legs, which were actually visible in the shot.
Okay.
So that's how you get rid of that. In fact, if you look closely, depends on your monitor, on the bottom left-hand side, you can see somebody's shadow. I'm just seeing that now.
I can't see that.
If you have your contrast turned up or whatever, like I think mine's a little bit too bright right now. So that's probably why, but you'd see a little bit of that shadow in the background. But anyways, the other issue being that, you know, at 1/160th of a second, you still need full power. So I need full power on each of the flashes, which means a long pulse time.
Right, which is why the motion blur.
Which is why we get the motion blur on the ball, on his hand, and a little bit on his face, because his face is moving
right
as he swings around there. So overall, I kind of like this concept. It's not perfectly executed. Like, you can see some of the light in the background that I don't like very much.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I took a few. There's a couple that were better in theory, except for I liked right where this light hit, like right under his armpit.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I like it as well. I think that if you do this again, I would try to do this on the field. And so mm-hmm. that, you know, if you kill 90% of the ambient light, but just leave that little bit so we can still tell that, you know, he's clearly at the ball field. And I mean, you'd get that anyways from the light, you know, illuminating the mound or whatnot. But I think you've got something here. This reminds me a lot of like that. The pictures that I did at the beginning of the year at the Oval with the kids, like action sports with, you know, all that dark background. And mm-hmm. I just think it looks cool. Like, it's just a cool look that you don't see these photos very often. And when you do, they stand out because it is very different as far as like what you typically see as a sports type of photo. So try this again outside at some point.
I will. Once we get outside, once the weather stays nice, the issue being that when it gets really nice, it's pretty light out here until like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So that's not fun to start then, but
yeah.
But it's nice, especially if you can kill the ambient easily. So if it's in the evening when like the sun's already gone down and you're just in that twilight, or even when it's dark, If it's really dark, that's great because you can now get away at the exact same shot. You can get away with like 1/16th power on the flash.
Right, right. And then freeze them, yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to look really cool. Freeze them or you can decide not to. I mean, you don't have to do it. You have that flexibility.
Right.
But all right, let's have a look at your winter fun.
So I kind of did two images. They're the same. It's a sequence of we're outside. This is like the snow day. So the kids are off school because there was such a big dump of snow two consecutive days. The first day, a lot of schools were canceled, just not Richmond where we live. So most of the lower mainland had school closures, but we didn't. On the second day of the another 10 centimeters day two, they decided, okay, we're shutting down our district. So the kids woke up and were elated to have a day of all things snow fun. And so we met up with some friends, we went to a local park, and the kids just played. And Jack is definitely a ball hawk. I don't know, that's a term they use in football, someone who basically, you know, tracks the ball. It's like a cornerback or anybody whose job it is to kind of follow and hone in on a ball. That's this kid. He, whether it's a football, a baseball, a mini stick hockey ball, he travels pretty much everywhere all the time with a ball. And mm-hmm. And so he had grabbed this football, taken it to the park, and just toted it around. Like whether they were on the slide, whether they were having a snowball fight, going on a toboggan, this ball went with him. And that's kind of how he is. And it's sort of funny because and I noticed it when we went to the pool with friends last weekend, that he always had this little foam football every time he went to the pool, and it was always under his arm, no matter what they were doing, mostly throwing the ball. When they weren't, he had this ball under his arm. So it's kind of like his teddy bear. But so we went to the park, and I probably had 30 different pictures of us, well, not of us, more of him and his friends playing. But in every one of them, this ball was under his arm. So at one point I threw the ball and then snapped a couple of shots of him catching the ball. And I just thought this sequence of two photos where he's kind of like, he kind of almost gets lost. There's so much snow. He gets lost into the snow. and there's one where he's kind of about to make the catch. And then and there's one where he's kind of buried in the snow with the giant laugh smile on his face, where just his hands are poking out with the ball. And I just thought these are perfect version of Jack at this age and what he is, which is like a golden retriever. Just throw me a ball, I'll catch it and bring it back 1,000 times. Yeah,
that's definitely what makes this is a good photo on its own, but his sheer enthusiasm.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
He's pretty excited. I was just gonna do the action shot of him where he's about to catch the ball as a standalone, but then the second photo kind of makes it for me, because it goes from like, just you see the facial expression which is kind of like, you know, he's excited, he's concentrating, there's a bit of a smile there, but it is the snow covered half, he's eaten half of the snow as he actually lands and catches the ball. So yeah, so that was our snow day, or a snapshot from our snow day.
So is it actually snowing, or is that just snow he's kicking up?
Oh, no, it's snowing. It's snowing like crazy when we're taking these photos, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was just literally dumping snow as we're doing this.
And so how did you determine exposure?
Basically just exposed for his face. So I didn't care what happened to the actual snow. I was like, just get a half decent exposure on his face. I know the snow is going to be overexposed. A little bit, but I don't care, because I want it to look right in terms of on him. I think if I exposed perfectly for the snow, or where the camera wants to expose this, would have his face be too dark.
Oh, no question. The snow would be a nice light gray. So you shot this in manual mode then?
Yes, definitely manual mode. I can't remember the ISO or anything. I think there was a ton of light here, so it was probably a pretty low ISO. And a very fast shutter speed, because I was trying to freeze him.
Yeah, the move I do in this situation is I actually expose for the snow, except for I don't expose it in the middle.
Right.
Your camera, if you look at take your reading off the snow, it's going to say, all right, let's put this right in the middle at zero. That'll be gray snow, and that'll be a dark face. And so what I do is I figure the snow is going to be right at the edge of the exposure.
Right.
So I'll expose it for, depending on how your camera meters this, +2, +3, I'll put it right at the right-hand side on a Canon, Nikon on the left-hand side. I'll put the exposure right there. That's where the snow is. And then you'll find that everything else will fall into place. It's very similar to exposing for the face.
Right.
But if you don't have, if you can't get up close to the face or et cetera, you can go ahead and do it that way. And then everything else is going to fall in. And I tend to put the snow right at the edge of, at the edge. And if maybe even a third of a stop under, that way you still have all those details. And if you're shooting raw, you get back home, you can dial that right back in if you want it. So, but great exposure, looks good. Kind of wish I was there for all that snow, man.
Yeah. Well, if you come in the next couple of days, you should see some more.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Topic this week is a do-it-yourself beauty dish. That's something else that, that I buried the lead on. I went ahead and made myself a beauty dish.
All right. Well, let's hear about it.
You just did. It's beauty.
Yeah. And why did you opt to make one versus, like, are they that expensive to buy in your neck of the woods?
Well, I'm saving up for a home theater system. I don't
know. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. You can put that money towards your new screen.
Yeah. No, I don't know how much they are. I didn't even look. It's one of those things where I always kind of thought I wanted one. I've seen some great images made by the beauty dish.
Yeah.
And I love my umbrella. I love my softbox. So I didn't really need a beauty dish. It wasn't like, all right, this is the missing link. Now I'm finally good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I also like shooting with the bare flash. I like shooting hard light. And so the one thing I liked about the beauty dish is that it's very pleasing. It's soft, but it's not soft.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have control over it. It's kind of a nice mix between hard and soft light, and it's kind of in that very very flattering hard light, I guess is kind of one way to put it.
Sure.
Don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's one way to put it.
Hardish light.
It's yeah, or softish. It's in that in that zone. But so I know I heard, you know, some people had sent me some links about, oh, check this one out. It's not actually a beauty dish. It's like a folding version of it. And I didn't really want that. I wanted something that you can just kind of, that's durable, sturdy, mm-hmm. you can bash around. I wanted something that's not going to necessarily blow over in the wind.
Okay.
Like, if you're outside shooting and put it on a stand, like, it's you know, I'm supposed, it's decent enough wind, it'll still blow it over. But, you know, like, you know, the softbox or the umbrella can take off like a sail.
That's right.
And so I kind of wanted something else. And, when we moved into our house here 4 years ago, we needed to find a new lighting fixture for our dining room. And my wife and I just couldn't find what we wanted. Like, I'm not a fan of the design here and et cetera, but we needed something. We couldn't just have a bare bulb hanging from the ceiling. Suppose we could, really. It's not Russia. And so We ended up going to IKEA, and I think I bought like the, I don't even know what it cost. It probably cost 15 euros, just the sort of light, like the little, like, you know, the kind of light you would see like in detective movies when they're giving you the interrogation.
Sure.
The one that kind of hangs down from the ceiling. It's kind of got, it's the cone. So we ended up getting one of those, a white one of those. It's about 40 centimeters across. And that was it. Like, that was our temporary light until we found something decent that we really liked.
Okay.
Cut to 4 years later, and like it was ridiculous. Like it looked terrible, and so finally I just pulled the trigger again. Just didn't ask my wife, although she was fine with it. I just went one day when she was out of town. I went to the store, bought one, bam, installed it. Good. Well, now I have this little IKEA light shade kicking around.
Okay.
It occurred to me, it was white on both sides. It occurred to me, I'll bet you I can make my own beauty dish out of that for probably next to nothing. Turns out you can.
Okay.
So if I was making one, like if I was setting out to make one, like that was my goal, I think I would make it larger. How large is the one that you bought?
It's pretty big.
Like across, what's the diameter approximately?
I'd have to measure it, but it is pretty darn big. I'm not good with coming up with a measurement as a guesstimate. Okay. I could probably find you that information a lot quicker than I could guess accurately.
Well, I'd like you to guess. Yeah. Now, if you hold your hand out and like spread your hand out like as far as you can,
it would be definitely wider than my shoulder width. So it would.
Okay.
Yeah, it's big. It's big.
But just point of reference. Do you know the distance from the end of your pinky to the end of your thumb? Like when you spread it as far out as you can?
I'm gonna say it's about 8 inches.
It's about, it's roughly mine's, yeah, 20 centimeters. But it's, if you don't know this, this is to all the listeners. If you don't actually know, go ahead and measure that. Do yourself a favor in life and measure that, because it is a great way to quickly measure things in life. Like just do a quick ballpark measurement for things. Like, oh, yeah. how is this bench, is this going to fit in my house? Boom, you can do it. You know, it's five of those.
Yeah, this, I'm going to say based on that calculation, it's probably about five or six of my hands across, like, so okay. It has the diameter. So,
wow.
So eight times, at least 40 inches.
Well, eight times eight. Oh, so is this a metal one you have, or do you have the cloth one?
No, mine's metal.
And it's 160 centimeters?
It's big. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, I have to actually physically measure it. It's big.
Okay.
Very, very big. Maybe not 160 centimeters. I'm not good with centimeters. In my head, I definitely think more in inches, but I'm going to say... That's
64 inches.
No, it's not. That would be eight hands across. I said five hands across.
I thought you said eight hands.
No. Like five hands across. I'm going to say it's about 40 inches. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
40 inches. Okay, that's 3.5 feet. That's pretty well. That's pretty big.
Yeah, I'll go measure it after, and again, okay. I'll give you a precise measurement so that we're not guessing.
Yeah, so I would have gone somewhat larger. I don't know if I would have gone. I wouldn't have gone the full 2.5 meters like Adam thinks, but I would have gone for the larger one. But I happen to own this one.
Oh, I just measured it. It's 2,000 inches.
2,000 inches. It's like halfway to the moon and back. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, I happened to own this one. Like, it was just sitting there. I was gonna throw it out. Like, what do you do? What do you do with an old light fixture that you paid 15 euros for? Like, you're not gonna sell to the garage sale. I don't know if I want to meet the kind of person who's looking for a used lighting fixture like that. So went downstairs, got out the Dremel tool. You have one of those?
No idea what that is.
Okay, I love those. You do know what it is?
No clue.
The little handheld tool that spins really fast.
And what did you call it? It's not a drill?
Dremel.
Dremel. No idea.
Dremel tool.
No.
I don't know. I used to have one in when I was in North America. My dad had one when I was living in Vancouver. Maybe it's a German name. I think, like, Drehen means to turn. So I don't know if that's a play on that. Dremel. I don't know the conjugation. We'll get into that. While you're looking up the size of yours, I'll look up the origin of the name. But Dremel tool, very, very handy to have, like a grinder, sander, polisher, cutter, whatever it is. Dangerous, so careful, always wear your eye gear. But I use that to cut a slot in the back to put the flash in, because it's mostly solid. Had a round hole in it for the bulb, of course, but I needed to cut a rectangle so the flash could poke through. And then, you know, filed that down a little bit, took the edge off and put some white duct tape over top just to avoid any little nicks, or I don't want anybody to cut their hands on it.
Okay.
Okay. And then it turns out that the mount for my softbox that you and I both have, fits almost perfectly on the back of this thing.
Okay.
That's what I couldn't figure out. How am I going to mount the flash to it and this to a light stand? And right. So I was, you know, okay, I'm gonna make my own, fashion my own deal, and go to the hardware store, etc. But turns out that without modifying at all, like no holes need to be drilled in the actual mount, I can use that mount. The only downside being I can use it for this or for the softbox. If I want to use it together, I got to buy a new mount.
Right.
But for now, I said, okay, well, I'm in for no money at this point. So I find out, figure out how to do that, drill a couple holes, pop a couple bolts, nuts and bolts in there, and that bolts right on. Fits great. And then, so now you have I'll post some photos of this as well, of the actual, I think I posted them on Instagram already, but I'll post a couple photos of the, do I have it on here? No, not yet. Okay. I'll post a couple photos of that, and then, so now you have the light, the flash poking out, but it's aiming in the same, essentially in the same direction as, like, it basically just, as it is, it's just going to shoot past and be a hard light and not reflect at all.
Right. You need a reflector piece in front of the flash.
That's the kicker. Now, I looked online at what people were doing, and some people were making it with like a CD case or like a, you know, like the plastic when you get like the 50 pack of CDs or DVDs. People were doing that. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to have something a little sturdier. So you need something, basically the light comes in, hits it, bounces back towards the reflector, and then bounces back a second time and wraps around your subject. That's how the beauty dish works.
That's right.
So I needed something for the reflector, and so I'm looking around the hardware store. I'm like, you know, someone suggested they bought like a pizza tin or something like that, and I couldn't find one of those, and I spent like an hour just scrounging around the hardware store, the big sort of Home Depot type place.
Okay.
And couldn't find anything. And my goal too was to spend almost no money.
Right.
And so couldn't find anything. Went, you know, hey, what about the lid of a cookie tin or something like that? And it occurred to me, you know what I have? I do have at home. I have an old paint can. So I'll bet you that the old metal paint can lid will fit perfectly.
Okay.
And it does. So I popped it off, scuffed it up a little bit with some sandpaper, and then spray painted it white. Mm-hmm. And that disc is 18 centimeters across. I measured specifically for this episode.
Okay.
And it fits in nice and perfectly right in there as the reflector piece. And all I had to do was buy a couple of longer bolts to mount it on so that it protrudes a little bit on the inside. So it's around it sticks out about 8 centimeters, which gives enough room for the flash to hit it and then bounce back into the reflector and wrap around.
Great.
So all in, I mean, I did own the some of the stuff ahead of time. If you're starting from scratch, it's going to cost you more money. I owned the mount. I already owned the light. But after that, I think I spent around €3 for all the bolts, which I had to buy packs of 10, even though I needed 3.
So sorry. So now at the end of it, what's the diameter of the light?
Or of the light dish? Itself is sorry, of the 30. Dish, yeah. Yeah, the it's 38 centimeters across. So it is a much smaller,
so how many
more
inches
portable.
Is that? 16, 18? What's that?
That's got to be around 15 inches.
Okay.
Roughly 8 centimeters. Yeah, something like that, around 15 inches.
Okay.
So definitely much, much smaller than the one you're talking about.
But also portable, you know, that's
very portable.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining basically mounting this onto a monopod and just kind of popping around, like, you know, the Altstadt, the old town here in town, and snapping away some cool portraits. I'll have to have somebody help me, you know, hold that. I'll have like a voice activated light stand, but you can get some pretty great effects with someone hand holding that for you.
So I think it was Dwayne, and I believe we were on a course together that was led by Dwayne like years ago when you were in Vancouver, and he had a DIY beauty dish, and I want to say he used car parts, like maybe, you know, part of a hubcap rim or something to make one. Do you remember specifically what it was made out of? It was definitely a DIY. We could reach out to him and find out exactly what he used, but he just, similar idea, he just spray painted the inside of a big metal cylinder, I want to say a hubcap, and then turned that into a great beauty dish.
It's pretty cool thing to do. That was the other thing, is like, sure, I could have bought one, but I kind of wanted to do the challenge of doing it myself, and it's kind of fulfilling to do your own.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and so overall, I'm really thrilled with it, because I mean, you have the a lot of flexibility. Like if you want really, really soft light, well, you bring it in close to your subject, you by definition, you it now becomes softer, but the fall off is really fast. Mm-hmm. Or you can pull it back and you can get decent. It's a little harder when you pull it back, but now the fall off isn't quite as great, but you can shape it exactly how you want. You know, it's very different than an umbrella. So I have that. If you want just like a shotgun blast of light scattering everywhere, get out the umbrella. But if you want something a little more refined, so I posted a shot, just did a test shot of my son. I said, all right, buddy, we gotta get in there. So this is him right up against a white wall, which I don't normally do. It's very rare that I have a subject like touching the wall. Mm-hmm. I like to bring people out from the background. But for this, I wanted to kind of show what happens to the shadow. And it's got kind of a funky little double shadow thing going, actually. And then this was also shot with a 1/8 black Pro Mist, which kind of diffuses the shadow a little bit.
Okay.
But overall, the bulk of what you're seeing is the result of the beauty dish. So you can see it's hard light, but it's not hard light. And it's soft light, not quite that soft. Kind of that nice middle ground. So I'm not going to shoot everything I shoot with this now, but I'm going to put it through its paces for sure. It's going to kind of come with me on, because it fits in the back of the car, no problem. You can carry it. It's lightweight enough that you can carry, but looking forward to shooting with this thing.
Okay. DIY beauty dish.
DIY. Yeah. So I recommend anyone, there's a lot of tutorials out there. Like if you don't have one to start with, I think people are using like metal IKEA bowls or whatever. Once you get to that point, I think it might be cheaper to buy your own.
Yeah.
A little more fun to make your own though.
Yeah.
Especially if you lose a finger with the Dremel tool.
Yeah. I wanted mine specifically for my studio light. And mm-hmm. So mine was just a happy find on Craigslist where I have the Paul Buff Alien B strobe, and I wanted one for a strobe, and it just happened to be somebody had used one of these on Craigslist for half of what it retails for, and there's nothing really to break on this. So
right.
The nice thing about it was that it was the perfect already mount for the Alien B. So it just has clips that were specifically made for going on the Alien B. So it just clips on and off in 2 seconds. So that was why it would have been a much bigger hassle making one both the size of what I wanted and also that would be you'd be able to be used with the Alien B light. So, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. This one's specifically for strobes, much smaller. Obviously, much less power than the studio one. That must be, I can't imagine building my own for the studio strobe.
Yeah. I don't have enough know-how, but anyways, I would look on Craigslist for anyone who's looking for a big one.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that was, that's that. Challenge for next month. Sorry, this month. It's next week. Next week is the monthly challenge for February, and that is do your best. Really original from Adam. I'm going to blame Adam for that one. Mm-hmm. Or give you full credit. We'll find out.
Okay.
And hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers, or the third hashtag this month is hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Photo. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can go to adamschwartz.ca. How about you?
You can find mine at alanatridge.com. The two of us at two. Speaking of alanatridge.com, by the way, real quick before I get off on that, I had some clients basically, like I mentioned with the black and white, the headshots. Mm-hmm. Well, they're new clients. They're referred by old clients. And so they were basically all like, I'm on the group email about scheduling, et cetera, and they included a link to the, oh, yeah, here, meet Alan. Here's the guy taking your pictures. And they had my about me page from my website.
Okay.
Which I forgot it existed. That's how long it's been since I've updated it. And so okay. I clicked on the about me and thought, wow, they are going to be so confused when they meet me. Like that guy, that's an old picture. Hair's a bit dark in the picture, is what I'm telling you.
Sure. So you're going to update it?
No. No, okay. I like that one better.
Okay.
It's way better with the dark hair. So anyway, so yeah, if you want to get have a nice little laugh, go to check out the About Me on the alannatrich.com, which I actually will update when I, you know, look better.
Okay.
All right. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.